The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, welcome to our top stories this hour. So I'm doing a live commercial read a few minutes ago for one of my great sponsors, Schick Shadel Hospital. And Nicole, I noticed somebody's walked in the studio, and Nicole's pointing like I'm supposed to look while I'm in the middle of a live read. Well, it's because the voice of Schick Shadel, and for 50 years before that,
legendary,
of Seattle radio,
yes,
Pat O'Day,
yes,
just popped in to say hi. So that was very sweet. But,
he gave you a lot of nice words over there.
Oh, he's a very nice man.
He's a very nice man.
I mean, if you were going to do the all-time Seattle radio Mount Rushmore, you got Dave Niehaus, Pat O'Day, and then you could have arguments about who else.
Well, he mentioned who else would be up there with him while he was here.
That's not important.
He's a big, very nice of him.
I'm bringing it up. But it was weird, though. I'm in the middle because for decades he was doing Schick Shadel.
I love that Dave Wyman and Russ Simber, our production guru, they were both here and they were watching him as Pat was heaping praise on you. Mm-hmm. And they were just watching like proud papas.
Okay. Didn't bring this up to talk about me.
I loved it.
It was very sweet.
Great camaraderie.
Okay. I got a bunch of big lead stories here. Just one quick update. Our friends over at Cairo 7, Amy Clancy found this. Casey McNerthney tipped me off to it. Another example of how our drug laws around here were attracting drug vagrants from all around the United States here. You got a guy who's been arrested and is being held. He was living in the woods. But listen to this guy's criminal charges against him. Possessing stolen property in the second degree, theft in the third degree, criminal trespass in the second degree, theft in the third degree. That's what he's being charged with right now. His name is Chris Shane Kennedy. But then you get into the certification of probable cause. The defendant has the following criminal convictions: a driving offense, and there's a criminal driving offense in Minnesota in 2008, theft 2002 in Minnesota, violation of a domestic violence protection order 1998, abandoned a dependent child in 1997. He also has an arrest and charging history from California and Utah. The defendant has no known address here in the Puget Sound area. He'd been living at an encampment in the woods for an extended period of time. He has a history of mental health issues. He was civilly committed in 2015 for the span of more than a year, with most in the last 4 months. He's been trespassing and stealing from an entire neighborhood in Fall City, Washington. The state has only charged 5 counts at this time, but the evidence in the reports and the certification of probable cause suggests many more victims. And so that's who we're attracting. This is what I tell you on a daily basis. We get the dregs, the drug criminals from around the country, and the word is out that the Puget Sound area is the place to be. And until we change leadership, until we change the politics of this region, we are going to continue down the path of, an entire neighborhood in Fall City victimized, they believe, by this one guy. Multiple convictions in multiple other states. Why does he end up here? Because this is the path of least resistance. Because this is where you cannot get charged for possession of drugs. Where property crimes, I'm surprised they were able to charge him with property crimes, because that's really tough to do here. The beat goes on, and it's all on our lack of political leadership in this region. And with that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead this hour.
The big lead, Bizarro World.
I mentioned, I don't remember if this was 2 years ago or 4 years ago, but we went on a cruise with a bunch of listeners, like we are going to do this summer as well. And my wife and I, one of the shore excursions was a French port city, and I honestly do not remember the name of the city. But my wife and I, we got off the ship, and we thought, oh, we'll just kind of walk it on our own. And we were walking around the, you know, the port and then into the main part of the city. And I found it to be, and I told my wife, I said, this place is so depressing. And it's notable that I don't even remember the name of the city, because it looked like what so many other European cities look like. Nobody has private property. Nobody has a yard. They have a little public square. That's where the children go to play, but they don't have any place of their own. They don't have a yard at all. Very few people own their apartments. And I said to my wife, this makes me depressed, seeing some of these European cities, because I know that this is what the powers that be want Seattle to be. And I see a story today in the Seattle Times that the long-running plan to upzone more than 24 neighborhoods in Seattle, passed unanimously by the city council, 8-0. And what all this is, I'm not going to get too deep and dark and conspiratorial, but this isn't just a conspiracy theory. This is actually the vision of socialist Marxists who disproportionately have control in Seattle. But there is a thing called UN Agenda 21. Okay, look it up. I'm not going to get too deep into it right now. But some of the key elements are no private property ownership, more density, that you don't have any private vehicles, private transportation, that everything revolves around public transportation or the holy grail of bicycles and walking, no yards for kids to play in. And we're going to see this around. It makes me very sad. It makes me very depressed to realize that this is the vision for Seattle. And that's because I did grow up in the best of Seattle. Even though my childhood wasn't idyllic. But, you know, my friends had yards where we could go in the backyard and play wiffle ball. They had alleys behind the houses in Ballard where we could nail up a piece of plywood and buy a basketball rim at a thrift shop and nail that to the plywood. And we had a basketball hoop. So we could play wiffle ball in the backyard. We could play hoops in the alleyway. My friends' houses were big enough that we could hang out inside the house, play games, watch TV. But the vision for Seattle is let's tear down single-family housing. Let's get more and more triplexes, fourplexes, 12-unit, 14-unit apartments, as many as we can. Why? Well, throw off more tax dollars. The more people we pack in, the more we tax them. But getting away from private ownership, and you know what's happening in Seattle, that the ownership will be concentrated among the very wealthy who can build these apartments. There will be some condos, too. But it's all designed to move to this European model of no yards, no private land ownership. Why? Well, because of all the things that makes a free land free, the absolute most bedrock, essential foundation of a free republic is private property rights. And the more you stack people up and the more you convince them that you can vote for every tax increase, and say you might see a rent increase, but you're not the property owners. They're the ones who are really going to get screwed. And you have more and more people voting for more and more government. And that is the ultimate goal, to have government. I mean, it's the stated goal of at least one city council member, the Marxist one, who can't make any decisions for herself. Her party makes her leadership decisions, which is in gross violation of her oath of office. But that's the goal. Let's be like Europe. Let's stack them. Stack them up as high as we can. Pack them in as densely as we can. Get away from kids having yards. We'll have public spaces where people will be forced together. If they'll have you. What, you want to sit in your own backyard and read a book? No, no, no. We're not going to be able to do that. You can do it in your 600-square-foot apartment. It's really depressing. And it is a dark, dark future, because our city council is leading us down this absolutely ruinous path. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
How about this? Over at Channel 4, ComoNews.com, they covered the story that Jenny Durkin alleges that a neighboring city was shipping their homeless to Seattle during the snowstorm of the last few weeks. Channel 4, ComoNews.com, they talked with a homeless man who said, I'm living the way I want to live.
Is he aware? One, two, three, four. You better go.
He wants to live on the streets. He doesn't want services. And Jenny Durkin said, well, in Seattle, we did get a record number of people inside from the snowstorm.
We had a unique opportunity to bring hundreds of people inside who previously had not been brought inside.
And she said she doesn't know how much it costs the taxpayers.
We don't have the final amount yet.
But then she dropped this little bombshell. She said that she has heard that Federal Way was shipping its homeless up to Seattle during the snowstorm.
There was one local city whose response to the snow was to authorize $1,000 in bus tickets to Seattle because they knew we had shelters.
When asked which city it was,
Federal Way.
Federal Way, she said. Well, this is what's, this is proof that what happens in the micro here in the Puget Sound area, it happens in the macro of the United States. You don't think that other cities aren't shipping their problems to Seattle? Of course they are. Of course they are. Hey, you want to go someplace where they won't arrest you if you shoot up heroin in front of the cops? We'll get you a bus ticket to Seattle. And the mayor in Federal Way, Jim Farrell, he says, no, we didn't tell people to go to Seattle.
That's just not accurate. We tried to act in a humanitarian manner.
He says, we just gave them ORCA cards. Well, Seattle's the place to be. Here's another homeless man, and all the extra efforts did not get him out of a tent.
No, I just want to stay where I stay.
Just want to stay where I want to stay. So that was ComoNews.com that covered that. And then in Seattle, you have these prolific offenders. And Channel 7, Cairo 7 News, they covered this. They talked to a street drug vagrant named Travis Burge, who just bragged about his drug use to Channel 7.
No.
Oh, here we go.
There's nothing in my life that makes me functional, quite like meth.
I use dirty needles. I shoot up AIDS.
I use dirty needles. I shoot up AIDS. And he says that he loves spotting a police officer and shooting up drugs right in front of him.
I go around and look for cops. And once I find cops, then I'll shoot up. And I'll be like, best friends.
I have police leadership that's tried to deny to me that it's okay to shoot up in front of cops. But the people on the street know it. They're not going to get arrested. Prosecutor's not going to bust them. Prosecutors already said possession amounts, you're not going to be prosecuted. But then you have the business owners like Maria Cosin, she owns Gelatiamo. And she said, but we're the ones who suffer from all of this.
Day in and day out, and these people are trashing my place, are disturbing my customer, are insulting my employees. They're hiding and shooting heroin in the restroom. It is just this, frankly, I've had it up to my ear bone with that.
And it is the same people over and over again. John Scholes with the Downtown Seattle Association told Seattle's Morning News.
We looked at 100 people who had spent at least four times in King County Jail in 2018. And what we found is those 100 people are responsible for nearly 3,600 crimes in our city.
In the last 2 years, the average person in jail has been convicted of 36 crimes. We are the revolving door. We are nirvana for drug criminals. And that's why they're all landing on our doorstep. And that's your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news. And then a very solid batch of our awesome audio of the day coming up next. Why, this show has just flown by. Now we're only 1/5 of the way done. But this is where we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Doring Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Let's begin in the world of the National Hockey League, where the Columbus Blue Jackets, their coach, John Tortorella, he was answering questions during a press briefing. And that's when one of the reporters' phone went off. And so John Tortorella, the coach, decided to answer the guy's phone.
Number 3.
Mrs. Reed? Hi, this is John Tortorella. I'm in the middle of a press conference here.
And by the way, the reporter was Tom Reed, who covers the Columbus Blue Jackets for the Athletic website. So he saw that it was the guy's mom calling him.
Mrs. Reed? Hi, this is John Tortorella. I'm in the middle of a press conference here. And no, that's okay. I'd rather talk to you than your son. So I'll be done in about 5 minutes. I've seen you call a few times, so it's rude of him not to call you back, but he's busy right now. It's nice talking to you. Okay, have a nice day.
Maybe the guy will turn off his phone next time he goes into a press conference. That's pretty good. At number 2, and before I play for you number 2, I remember a few years ago, my wife and our previous dog, Star, they were going out for a run on Saturday morning. And my wife, when she came back to the house, she said, "You will not believe what we just saw." But there's some blue heron in our neighborhood. And there are a couple of creeks that run through our neighborhood. And my wife saw a blue heron dive down into the creek. It grabbed a salmon. And then it got dive bombed by another bird. And it dropped the salmon. And the salmon landed, my wife said, about 10 feet from her and Star, and was flopping around on the ground right in front of them. And she said, "I just saw the most incredible bit of nature just, you know, 6 blocks from our house." So I know that fish can fall from the sky, and it's happened again. This is during a college baseball game, and the guy who's doing play-by-play, he saw what I just described. A bird dropped a fish on the field during the game.
Number two.
We got a flyover, and I mean a hawk. And he just dropped a fish in the outfield. It's an osprey out there that just dropped a fish out in shallow right field. And now a bald eagle has entered the scene, and everything has come to a halt. The eagle comes in, chases the osprey away. Makes him drop.
This guy sounds like he's doing a small-time baseball announcer parody.
He's having fun with it.
The fish, and now the eagle is swooping. Connor Stevens is going out into shallow right. Is he going to go try and get the fish before the eagle gets it? The eagle circling overhead. Stevens has the fish wrapped up in a towel, and he makes his way back over to the home dugout.
There you go. There you have it, everybody. Okay, at number one on NBA on TNT, they were talking about what's less likely to happen, this team making the playoffs or that team making the playoffs. And that's when Charles Barkley decided to get hate crime hoaxer Jussie Smollett into the conversation.
Number one.
One over there that's still living that you would say has no chance of happening.
Two black guys beat the black guy up
and have a black guy.
Sorry, speak it out loud. That's not on here, man. The Clippers will not make the playoffs.
What kind of hats they had on, Chuck?
MAGA hats.
All right, I think that's
wearing the MAGA hat, he said.
America, let me just tell you something.
What's that?
Do not commit crimes with checks. Come on, man. You cannot, if you're going to break the law, do not write a check.
Because you're writing a check that what? You're behind cash.
I heard you can only get $200 out of
Charles.
$500.
Charles, stop, literally.
You're
about to make a lot of stop to the ATM.
America.
Hey, Jack.
Don't commit.
Jesse, you wasted all that damn time and money. You know what you should have did?
What's that?
Just went up in Liam Neeson's neighborhood. Could have solved all your damn problems.
I love Charles Barkley. Our awesome audio brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Today's sign next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And much more to do, including today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. You want a classic example of the smug self-satisfaction of today's modern liberal? Bill Maher, on his HBO show, he was talking about the superiority of liberal cities compared to red flyover America. And he said that middle America is just nothing but Hicksville, and it should not be regarded when talking about national policies.
There are no red carpets in Wyoming, and no one ever asks you, who are you wearing? Because the answer is always Target. There are two Americas, and it seems like one is where all the cool jobs are, where people drive Teslas and eat artisanal ice cream. We have orchestras and theater districts and world-class shopping. We have Chef Wolfgang Puck. They have Chef Boyardee.
Yeah.
Our roofs have solar panels. Theirs have last year's Christmas lights. We've got legal bud. They've got bud.
And so cities on both the East and West Coast, New York, L.A., they're just morally superior. They're apparently superior in all ways to the flyover America.
The flyover states have become the passover states. That's why red state voters are so pissed off. They don't hate us. They want to be us. They want to go to the party. It's like we're the British royal family and they're Meghan Markle's dad.
Yeah, I don't know too many people who live salt-of-the-earth lives, who work the land. I don't know too many of them who desire to be like a shallow, party-hopping socialite in New York or L.A. In fact, that's the biggest nightmare for an awful lot of people in the flyover states. But that's just another example of the absolute liberal condescension that we get. They truly believe that they are superior for reasons I still can't understand. Today's sign number two, a fraternity at the UW, but it's the other UW, University of Wisconsin. It has been suspended for hazing. Now, as hazing stories go, I don't know that they needed to be suspended for this. You know, there have been hazing incidents where they make pledges, drink until they are sick. In some cases, drink until they're dead. What the Alpha Sigma Phi, Phi, Fo, Fo, fraternity did was they made the pledges during fall semester. They had to run errands for senior frat members. That happens. Not a big deal. I was a fraternity guy for one day. It wasn't for me. But they had to run errands for seniors. They had to carry fruit on campus, and they were made to wear Dora the Explorer backpacks. And after that story was published, because they were saying, it's kind of cute, in the campus newspaper, the university student organization code of conduct, they were alerted because it prohibits any hazing of new members. And so the frat has now been suspended from all campus activities up till March 24th. And then they'll be on probation until mid-December. Because they made guys wear Dora the Explorer backpacks? Again, that's about the mildest hazing. Remember the Mariners did that. Didn't the Mariners, the last few years, they make their rookies wear goofy costumes and they've had little bonding things? It seems a little rigid in the application of that law. And then finally in today's sign, the Duke is back in the news.
Young fella, if you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you.
A week or two ago, there was this ridiculous storyline that was flying all around Twitter especially, because they said that a Twitter user has unearthed a 1971 John Wayne Playboy interview. And look, John Wayne, he said some things that by today's standards are certainly reprehensible. But the fact of the matter is, in 1971, when it was printed, it made barely a ripple. He railed against socialism. But he also had some racist and homophobic things to say. He talked about perverted films. And when he was asked for an example, he said Easy Rider. and Midnight Cowboy. And he said, Midnight Cowboy, he described it with a homophobic slur. And then he said that he believes in sexual relations between men and women. And he also said, I believe in white supremacy. We can't all of a sudden get down on our knees and turn everything over to the leadership of the blacks. I don't believe in giving authority in positions of leadership and judgment to irresponsible people. Again, a reprehensible position to take. But in 1971, when it was printed, it didn't create a stir. And in 1907, that's when John Wayne was born. I hate to tell people this, but you would find the positions of almost everyone who had been born in 1907, if you had had a chance to talk to them before they died, you would have found an awful lot of their thinking and beliefs to be reprehensible. It's really difficult to judge people by 1971 words using 2019 standards. But since this 50-year-old interview, nearly 50-year-old interview, has recirculated, there is now a call to remove John Wayne's name from the airport in Orange County, the John Wayne Airport. Because of the critical comments about blacks and Native Americans and homosexuals, there is a wildfire-like effort to rename the Orange County Airport. Now, what he said, it is disgusting by today's standards. But again, taking a 50-year-old interview and trying to make hay of that seems like a stretch at best. And all of that is today's sign. The end is near. Cedar said yes in a New York minute. They never tied a knot. God wasn't in it. He stole a kiss as he rode away. He never hung his hat up at Kitty's place. I should have been a cowboy. I got to get out of here. I've simply said everything that I have to say for today. But I will go home, think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow's Wednesday extravaganza. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. County Mike and Todd coming up next, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Singing those campfire
songs. I know it's easy to say tonight was just a fluke, and maybe it was, but here's a piece of trivia. A fluke is one of the most common fish in the sea. So if you go fishing for a fluke, chances are you just might catch one.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.